Hello, welcome to the Patient Activation Network podcast. I'm your host, Matt Cavallo. I have with me today, Aline Brennan. Aline is a renowned nutrition and fitness expert. Aline, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here, Matt.
Oh, we're so happy to have you. Before we get going, could you just tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, sure. So I am a Jersey girl born and raised. I have always lived a very active lifestyle. I completed the triathlon, taught yoga, and then was in the corporate world for 12 years before I started my own nutrition practice. And years later, decided to dedicate that nutrition practice to helping those with MS and other autoimmune diseases, because it was a diagnosis that I received back in 2016 myself.
And let's talk a little bit about your health history. Now, I know while you were in the corporate world and you were doing these triathlons and all that great stuff, you were suffering from something that wasn't MS. Is that correct?
It's true. Yeah. So from a very early age, I got debilitating migraines back from when I was in elementary school. And all the way to when I was in college, my worst one, they rushed me over to the hospital because they thought I had spinal meningitis because I couldn't move my body too much. So I was suffering from debilitating migraines. I was on a lot of different medications. And got really frustrated because I felt like at such a young age, I was dependent upon medicine. And even at that, I really wasn't living the quality of life that I wanted to. So I'm thankful that I grew up in a house where health and wellness was something that was really prioritized and valued. So I really started to take a look at what I could do to really eliminate the migraines. So I started to take a look at both diet and lifestyle and used myself as like a little experiment there. And I was able to, through an elimination diet, essentially identify the triggers that were causing the migraines, and over time eliminated them and then reduced the frequency and the intensity of the migraines. So it really was a great lesson to be able to see how much diet and lifestyle can impact our health.
Now, that's so interesting to me because I have friends that suffer through migraines and they try everything. And I didn't realize there was a nutritional component to migraines. Is there any just tips and tricks that you could share with our audience?
Yeah, for sure. So there's definitely a laundry list of food triggers. And that was one of the things that kind of stood out to me the most. My doctor just kind of gave me this list of, oh, by the way, here are some foods that may trigger migraines. It looked like an inventory list of the grocery store. So it became really overwhelming, as it does when you are suffering from migraines, you don't feel well, and you're trying to figure out what it is that's triggering them. So an elimination diet is, in my opinion, the best way to do it. And then I also work with a lot of clients. I take them through that elimination diet. Essentially, what we're doing is we're cutting out as many of those triggers as possible. Some of the biggies are gluten, caffeine, nuts, chocolate, sadly. I know it's a lot of those good things, red wine, but really taking a look and seeing out of, you know, some of those bigger triggers, what's currently in your diet and what can you start to eliminate? You don't have to cut it out forever, but cut it out for about 30 days and then reintroduce it and see how your body responds to that.
Aline, so you have this history of migraines, and a couple of years ago, that changed. What was it that happened?
Yeah, so I thankfully was able to get to a place that through diet and lifestyle, I wasn't getting migraines frequently anymore. But around 2015, I started getting what's known as exertion headaches. So while I was working out, I was getting pretty intense headaches. And I was familiar with them just because of having had a history of migraines. I knew they weren't a big concern, but by the same token, I know that I knew I was under a lot of stress at that time. My mom was at the end of a 10-year battle of cancer. I was in a stressful work schedule. So there was just a lot going on, and I decided to schedule an appointment with my neurologist. We did a routine MRI, and at 8:30 on New Year's Eve, she called to tell me that that routine MRI got a diagnosis of MS. The radiologist gave it an MS read. So that was certainly a surprise, to say the least.
What a shocking way to start the new year. I can't even imagine what you were feeling at the time.
Yeah, you know, I have to be honest, I don't have a family history of MS. Not that that is typical for somebody who gets diagnosed with it, but it did come as a surprise because it wasn't even something that we were considering or looking for when getting that test. And really, those headaches aren't common. They're not necessarily a symptom of MS. But I'm extremely grateful for it because a lot of times people, it's more common for people to spin their wheels in the medical community searching for an accurate diagnosis. They have all these various symptoms, and they're not able to get an accurate and relatively quick diagnosis. So for my case, it's pretty non-traditional, but I was able to stumble upon it. And while I'm not excited to have the diagnosis, I'm incredibly grateful that I got the diagnosis as early as I did.
So typically with MS, there may be vision problems or mobility problems. At the time you were having these headaches and they sent you for an MRI, were you experiencing any other symptoms?
Yeah, I was definitely experiencing extreme fatigue, brain fog, and what I didn't know to be a symptom of MS at the time, but I was definitely having heat sensitivity. As I mentioned, you know, I love yoga, and I was taking some hot yoga classes, and I couldn't for the life of me understand why I was so sick for a week to 2 weeks after a single class. So definitely heat sensitivity, and then probably the most distinct symptom of MS for me was the sharp and jolting facial pains that just come out of nowhere and take your breath away because of the intensity of the pain. But again, I didn't know those were symptoms until I had the MRIs and the spinal tap and spoke with my neurologist. And he said, have you ever experienced, and went through that list? I said, yes, to a lot of them. And he said, yeah, those are all symptoms of MS. So to some aspect, it was validating because, you know, those symptoms are so random. I kind of felt like a hypochondriac that they were, all these random things were happening. But to have somebody put it all together and have it make greater sense was definitely validating and brought some comfort to it.
So you have this diagnosis, you're having this checklist of symptoms, and I know with your background, you probably explored, what can I do from a nutritional perspective right away?
Yeah, so when I was in the doctor's office and he gave me the official diagnosis of relapsing remitting, I felt confident that I had received the accurate and the right diagnosis, and that I was comfortable with the medicine that he was recommending, but I knew that that was only half of the equation. Having a background in nutrition and fitness, I knew how much diet and lifestyle can play in creating a healing environment in our body. So it's not to suggest that it's necessarily going to cure anything, but diet and nutrition can absolutely play a big factor in managing the symptoms and also really setting me up for success for long-term health. So within just a few weeks of being diagnosed, I hopped on a plane out to Iowa and I attended the Walls Protocol by Dr. Terry Walls. She's a physician who created the nutrition protocol for those living with MS. I got certified in that. I started adopting the protocol right away. And at a time when I felt like my health was kind of out of my control for the first time in a long time, which was a really scary feeling, having the opportunity to use food as a form of medicine and really focus on diet and lifestyle, it was really empowering because it was something that I could do. There was something within my control that I could be doing to help heal my body and to maintain my independence for many years ahead.
We're talking to Aline Brennan, nutrition and fitness expert. Aline, at what point did you decide to take your personal journey and turn it into a coaching practice?
So I realized pretty early on that my diagnosis was about much more than myself. Experiencing a chronic disease and a diagnosis as heavy as MS is really overwhelming. And then experiencing all of the different emotions and symptoms and everything that's wrapped around it can be really isolating. And what I was finding is that I was able to lean a lot on my background in nutrition and fitness to support myself in choosing a diet and lifestyle that was going to complement the medicine that was recommended to me. But it was something that I realized I was fortunate to have that information because of my background. And I wanted to be able to share that with others who were in the MS and the autoimmune community, that they too wanted to feel better. But they didn't have necessarily the knowledge and the resources to be able to put those steps into action. So that's where I decided to dedicate my nutrition practice over to those with MS and other autoimmune diseases and really support them in, again, choosing the diet and lifestyle that they need to help alleviate their symptoms and just feel better.
Aline, you mentioned that proper nutrition can help with the management of tough symptoms like brain fog and fatigue. How does nutrition play a role in managing those symptoms?
Yeah, it definitely does. There's a lot of foods that are in our everyday diet that are creating inflammation and creating stress in our body, and also really disruptive to our digestive system. And we know, or we're finding out, a strong connection between those living with MS and their microbiome, a difference in their gut health. So it's important for somebody living with MS to have a really nutrient-dense diet that's not only going to support them in having optimal digestion so that all of the nutrients that they're getting through their food is actually getting sent out to all of the cells in their body, allowing them to have good energy, clear thinking, but then also to make sure that the foods that they're eating aren't contributing to inflammation in the body that can trigger, you know, even more symptoms. So, you know, there's some pretty common ones. Gluten and dairy and sugar, I would say, are kind of the three biggest ones. And they also can be pretty challenging to eliminate, because if you think about our standard American diet, so much of it is based on bread and pasta and baked goods and all kinds of sugary bread type foods there. But what you find is that when I work with clients and we eliminate that from their diet, they are always so surprised at the relief that they get from the fatigue and brain fog, and they just feel like a new sense of life kind of coming back to them.
Do you feel that there's something like food nostalgia? I grew up in a big Italian household. My grandmother would make these wonderful Sunday dinners with pasta and meatballs and sausage and bread. And one of the things that she handed down to me was those recipes. And those are some of the happiest times of my life. It is hard for me to imagine living a life without those things.
That makes 100% sense. Absolutely. And, you know, as a nutrition coach, that's part of the work that I do in partnering with a client to really not only educate them on the foods that are going to be important to eliminate and the important foods to include in, but it's also that accountability and that emotional support. So if you do come from a family with these long-standing traditional recipes, there's so much more behind it than just to say, oh, eat this instead of that. You're saying, but this is my grandmother's recipe. So what I do is really partner with the client to say, okay, let's take a look at this. One, are there modifications that we can make that will allow you to still enjoy the memory of those great foods, but in a way that's going to be supporting your health? Or are there different foods that we can put in that may be part of your family history of recipes that don't include the inflammatory foods in there? Because, you know, there is a lot wrapped around food. It's not just eating it to sustain us for life. There's emotion, there's celebration, there's, you know, so many ties to it. And when you're dealing with a chronic disease, if someone comes and takes away a crutch of yours or some form of comfort of yours, meaning through food, that can be pretty unsettling, overwhelming, upsetting. So that's where I really work with them to navigate those different times in their life. And ultimately, they get to a point where they realize that the payoff of maybe not having that homemade pasta, but having a gluten-free alternative or something else in its place, they realize that feeling better in their body far outweighs the taste of any food on your plate.
Now, when I hear gluten-free, I also hear really expensive. Is that a true thing? Is switching to a more organic, gluten-free lifestyle going to really affect me at the grocery store in terms of costs?
It definitely can if you're not strategic about it. And that's another area that I really support clients in doing, because the reality is the average person does not have an unlimited grocery budget to just go and buy all organic or free range or whatever it may be. But you don't necessarily have to do that. What I help my clients do is really navigate what are the foods that would be most helpful for you to consume organic. And then the other ones, maybe they're on what's called the Clean 15 list, where just by nature in which they are grown, they don't require a lot of pesticides. So don't invest your dollars in an organic version of that. Stick with the ones that are on the Dirty Dozen list, the ones that have the most pesticides and chemicals and stuff like that on there. But then also helping them find other ways to save dollars at the grocery store. And what they find is that we're able to stay within their budget, but just shifting things around so that we're investing the dollars in a really smart way.
So in addition to the nostalgia and the costs, I have two young boys at the house, and they are absolutely picky eaters at this point in their life. Do you have any strategies for maybe helping me get my kids to buy into the fact that I might need to live a more nutritious lifestyle, and I also don't want to have to cook two dinners every night?
100%. So definitely being the father of two young boys that you are, it definitely makes sense that, you know, as you're out and about with them, if they are wanting hot dogs at the ballpark, then, you know, those are your options. The most important thing in setting yourself up for success is planning ahead. So you want to take a look at what does your day or your week, or, you know, maybe it's a holiday, wherever it is that you're kind of planning for, what does that look like? And if you know that, for example, you're going to take the boys out to the ballpark, are you going to a place that has some healthier options? And that might take an extra step to go online and look to see what restaurants are available or what snack stands are available to maybe have some gluten-free options. If that, and that's something that I do often with my clients, if that is not an option, if there isn't anything convenient and healthy out, then maybe it means that you're taking the forethought to actually bring something with you. So that the boys can still have their hot dogs, but you have a lunch that you've packed with you. So planning is really key, because the last thing that you want to do is get to the point where you're hungry, you're tired, or you're surrounded by people that are having more of the tempting foods, and you haven't decided yet what you want or what options are available to you. So planning is key.
We're talking to Aline Brennan, renowned nutrition and fitness expert. Aline, you've given us some great information and advice today, and I really feel like I have a great starting point to making some changes in my life. If I wanted to learn more about you, how could I find you online?
Yeah, so I have a website at alinebrennan.com, and I share a lot of free resources there that listeners can use when they are looking to transition to using diet and lifestyle as an opportunity to create a healing environment in their body. So there's recipes, there's information, blog posts. I have a video that I've been posting every day during MS Awareness Month of all different tips and strategies to really make some of these changes, because education is one thing, but to be able to implement them is another. So that's where a lot of those videos were started from. And on the homepage, they can actually sign up to receive a copy of an anthem that I created. And that was one to really support the mindset in getting on board with these changes as well. So it's one that I've printed out, I have on my bathroom mirror, and I say each morning and each evening. And it really just helps keep me in the right mindset to be able to stay positive through a chronic illness and to know that each day I have an opportunity to improve my health through diet and lifestyle.
Aline, thank you so much for sharing that. We'll make sure that we have those links and resources in our podcast notes. As we're getting to the end here, do you have any closing thoughts that you want to share with our audience?
Yeah, so just circling back to the conversation that we had on strategies to implement a lot of these diet and lifestyle changes in a realistic way, I would love to share a copy of an ebook that I wrote, a Less Farm, More Table ebook, with your listeners to give them tips and strategies on how they can either eat out in a restaurant or do some quick and easy meals in an allergy-friendly way. So I'll definitely send that your way so that you can share that with the listeners. And then outside of that, thank you so much for everything that you're doing with this show here. It's fantastic to help build an incredible community, which is so important when you're living with a chronic disease. And outside of that, I would say, you know, it's important to remember that, you know, you can make a difference through diet and lifestyle. You have an opportunity to allow the foods on your plate and the habits that you have throughout your day to help alleviate your symptoms and improve your quality of health. And if you can wake up in a little bit less pain with a little bit more energy and zest for life, it 1,000% is worth it. So I hope the information that, you know, we talked about today is helpful to the listeners. And certainly if there's an opportunity for me to connect with any of your listeners, I am absolutely happy to do so in whatever way that looks like. So thank you again, Matt. I really appreciate this.
Well, thank you, Aline. We have learned so much today. And I, for one, just really appreciate the work you do to raise awareness of how nutrition and lifestyle can make a difference. She's Aline Brennan. I'm Matt Cavallo. This has been the Patient Activation Network podcast. We look forward to bringing you another inspirational story soon.